you have your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4, and we all know this, and most of us could just about quote it. Philippians chapter 4, like I said, what a fitting song. Even in hard times, even in tough times, even when times are even when we're struggling, we still ought to be able to rejoice. I didn't say you got to be happy. You don't have to be happy to rejoice. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." I guess you've noticed by now in church that when the Bible tells you something back to back, it really means it. Amen. So let's pray. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that your presence is in this place. God, I thank you, God, that, Lord, we can come to church, God, and feel your presence, God. And Lord, I thank you, God, that we can have that joy down in our hearts, God, even though our hearts might be sad, even though we might be struggling, even though we might be in a valley, God, we can still have that joy down deep inside. God, help us right now, God, just to, in the next few minutes, Lord, you give us the words, and we'll praise you for all you do, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The word rejoice comes from the Greek word chario. So it's a verb. It means to be cheerful, to be calmly or happily or impersonally, especially as a salutation when meeting or parting, to be glad or to rejoice. You ever been around somebody and it's like they was unhappy all the time? And for lack of a better way of saying it, just like the old Winnie the Pooh character, Eeyore, they've always got a dark cloud over them. They don't never smile. I mean, you know, some people over the years, Mike, some people I have nicknamed, here comes Eeyore. Amen. But then other ones you have, you know, other ones, Brother Robert, you see them coming, and they're smiling. It's like they got joy about them. It's like they're happy. That's the way I want to be. That's my desire, to be that kind of person. And the thing about it is, if it's in the heart, the face is going to show it. Yeah, some of y'all need to wipe that frown off your face. Amen. If it's in the heart, the face is going to show it. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 2, this is Bible, amen. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 2, "Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? Is this nothing else but the sorrow of heart?" In other words, when Nehemiah was longing to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, the king looked at him, Jackie, and said, "Why are you so sad?" He could see it in his face. Sometimes when you get out at Walmart, you ought to sit in the car for just a little while and suck it up and say, "I'm going in with a smile." Sometimes, I mean, even though the devil's fought you with everything he's got, you ought to just go, "Hey, I'm going to put a smile on, because you don't never know when I might run into somebody that needs to be cheered up." Amen. So sorrow of the heart manifests in our face. Understand, in like manner, joy of the heart manifests in our face. Joy of the heart manifests in our actions and in our countenance. Amen. In March 1992, a research showed that the average four-year-old laughs 400 times a day. And I thought about that as I was sitting there holding Jed, and he was just smiling and looking around, and I'd say amen, he'd say amen, I'd raise my hand, he'd raise his hand. He was just smiling, just happy. 400 times the average four-year-old laughs in a day, while the average adult only laughs about 15 times a day. No wonder Jesus told us to be like the little children. You're not letting nothing steal your joy. Situations ought not steal your joy. For Christians, sin ought not steal our joy. Amen. nothing ought not steal your joy. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says this, "Then said he unto them, Go your way, eat fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this is the holy day of our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." For the joy of the Lord is your strength. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you're here tonight, you ought to have the joy of the Lord as your strength. Yes, it might be tough. Yes, we've all gone through some things. Y'all realize I've had two funerals this week? That'll wear on you after a while. But somebody else said, "I know this got to be hard on you." I know where they at. Praise the Lord. I'm not worried. Somebody said, are you worried about this? Are you worried? No, I'm not worried about Miss Peggy. I'm not worried about Scoopy. I'm not worried about Tommy Brooks. I'm not worried about Tim Larimore. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm going to let God take care of it. Amen. Medically speaking, laughter releases chemicals in our brains called endorphins, and they energize us, they increase our endurance, and they act as a natural painkiller. And again, when you laugh, there's more oxygen going to your brain. That makes you smarter. That makes you happier. Some of y'all need to laugh. I just thought I'd throw that one in there. We know what the Bible says. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And I'll get into that in a little bit more. But, there are things to know about rejoicing. Rejoicing, number one, rejoicing makes it easier for us to hear God's voice. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 29 and 30 says this, "Ye shall have a song as in the night when the holy Solomon is kept, and the gladness of heart as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down on his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with his flame of his devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones." Understand something. When we rejoice, when we come in and we're praising God and honoring God and glorifying God, especially when we've had a tough time, it's easier to hear God's voice at that time. Amen. Whole lot easier to hear God's voice when we're shouting it out than when we're crying on an altar. It's a whole lot easier to come into God's house and hear God's voice when we got our hands lifted up in the air and we're praising Him, even though it's been a bad day, even though it's a bad situation. It's a whole lot easier to hear God's voice when I'm like this than when I'm griping and complaining. So rejoicing helps us to hear God's voice. And you know how important it is to hear God's voice. Amen. A joyful heart produces a healthy body. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And I'm just going to tell you, folks, we need to laugh as much as we possibly can. There's going to be enough time for crying. There's going to be enough time for tough times. But we need to have a smile on our face. Let me tell you something. Some of y'all need to turn off CNN and turn on Andy Griffin. Amen. Some of us need to quit watching the news so much and find us a Gilligan's Island or something like that. It'll make you snicker a little bit and have a smile on your face. Amen. That's why we're so down. Let me tell you something. What's the old saying? Garbage in, garbage out. I control what goes into here. Amen. And he'd rather have Andy Griffin than CNN. Amen. Rejoicing invites God's presence. When genuine rejoicing fills the air, the Bible says in Isaiah 64, verse 5, "Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness." Hey, thou meetest him that rejoiceth. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth. We know that the Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. How many of us need God to meet with us tonight? How many of us need God to meet in a situation that we're going, hey, when we rejoice, he meets with us. Rejoicing keeps you going. Listen, I don't care what nobody tells you. Nobody is on the mountaintop all the time. Nobody. Last week we had some phenomenal services. Alan got up and sang, and Alan did a great job. And you could tell that Alan had been preparing and thinking about it. But you know what? I guarantee you since then, the devil's fault. How many of us tonight the devil fought you about coming to church? Amen? But we're here. And since you came, since you showed up, ain't no need just sitting there with a frown on your face. Ain't no need just sitting there thinking and dwelling about all the bad stuff. Hey, since we're here, we ought to just raise our hands and praise God that we are here. Hey, we could be in the finest funeral home in America, but glory to God, you're sitting in God's house on padded pews with the air conditioning running, amen. Hey, we're sitting in God's house worshiping and honoring and glorifying God, amen. Rejoicing keeps us going, amen. Coming to God's house will give you greater joy. Amen. Coming to God's house will give you greater joy. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 11. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall attain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. My God, how many, did y'all hear that? Let me read that again. Some of y'all need to mark this down. Some of y'all need to write this down. Put it on your refrigerator. Amen. Isaiah 51, verse 11. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee. Glory to God. Just come into God's house. When you leave tonight, say, I'm going back Sunday. I'm going back to worship God. It's an attitude. You hear what I said? It's an attitude. I asked a guy one time. Preacher Thad knows him. He's been to church here. He passed away. He's gone on to heaven now. Brother Carlisle Hathcock. I asked him one time, how in the world can you go to God's house and be happy every time you get there? I mean, shout. I mean, I don't care what the preacher's preaching on. He was going to raise his hand. He was going to say amen. He was going to just go ahead and have himself a fit every time. This is what he told me. He said, before I go to church, Skip, he said, I get in my building and I pray and I ask God to touch me. He said, that's every time I go to church. He said, I don't miss a time I get in that building and I pray for God to bless the service and I pray for God to help me to worship and honor and glorify him. Amen. If we did that, what kind of church services could we have? Amen. Amen. So coming back to God's house guarantees to leave with greater joy. Now, you understand, y'all do realize that there's a difference between joy and happiness. Joy ought to be something in here. Happiness is what you get with an event. Amen. I would be happy if I came to church one day, Brother Robert, walked out in the parking lot and found a lottery ticket. Notice I didn't say buy a lottery ticket. And I looked down, Brother Ralph, and that thing said I'd won $1 million. That would make me happy. That would not give me joy, but that would make me happy. Kind of a crude example, but y'all got the picture. Joy is something, Brother Ed, I got in here all the time. Because I realize I'm not going to hell. And I realize that Jesus Christ loved me enough that he came and died for me and gave his life for me. That ought to give us joy right there. Amen. And we know where we're headed. So understand something, sin steals joy every time. Psalms 51, verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. David wrote that after his sin with Bathsheba. Psalms chapter 45, verse 7, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above the fellows. Psalms 64, verse 10, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Understand, so if we sin, that steals joy. How many of you has ever done something wrong and you prayed at home and you know you felt like God forgave you at home, but you just couldn't hardly wait to get back to church, get on an altar? And it seemed like until you got on the altar, Brother Donald Boone, nothing was right. I mean, you knew you were forgiven. You knew you were forgiven in the bedroom. You knew you were forgiven where you prayed. But it seemed like you just couldn't wait to get down to an altar, because that's what happened. I'm talking about sin steals joy. God's word brings joy. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16 says this, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. John chapter 15, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The spoken word. You say, preacher, I have people tell me this all the time, Brother Johnny. I don't understand the Bible. Well, just listen to it. Hey, as long as you're listening to it, as long as it's being spoken, as long as it, I mean, you know, a lot of times and on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights or whatever, getting ready for church, I'll go in there and I'll turn the TV on and pull it over there to YouTube or whatever, Brother Robert, and I'll pull up Psalms 51 or just the book of Psalms and let Alexander Scorby just read it out loud and just let it permeate the whole house, amen. I've said this before, I'll never forget it. I remember when I quit the highway patrol, I had one cassette. I don't know where I got it. I might have stole it from somebody. I cannot remember. I had one cassette, Jackie, of 1 Corinthians. And I'd put that thing in that truck, Mike, and I'd listen to it. Now, I don't know. I'm just going to tell you how I am. My mind wanders. I can be going down the road listening to the Bible, and I can be thinking about all kind of other stuff. I'm just being honest. Every once in a while, Mike, I can concentrate on what I can really concentrate and listen. But my mind wanders. But you know what? It felt like, Andy, every time I did that, I had a better day. I had a better day just by listening to the Word of God. Just by listening to the Word of God, I had a better day. So the Word of God will bring joy. There's power in rejoicing, folks. So when do you rejoice? What did Paul say? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. When you get up in the morning, you ought to be rejoicing. Amen. When you go to bed at night, you ought to be rejoicing. When you come to God's house, you ought to be rejoicing. Now listen, I'm going to close with this. An old man was asked one time what robbed him of most of the joy in his lifetime. This is what he said. The things that never happened. You know what he's saying? What robbed him of his joy was worrying about the things that never happened. So I'm going to end with this. Fret not, because he loves you. John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them until the end. Don't fret. Jesus loves you. I don't care what you're going through. Jesus loves you. I don't care how good you think you are. Jesus loves you. I don't care how bad you think you are. Jesus loves you. I don't care how far down the road you think you've gone. Jesus loves you. It don't matter how what mountaintop you're on or what valley you're in. Jesus loves you. Amen. Fret not, for Jesus loves us. Faint not, because Jesus holds us. Psalms 139, verse 10, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. Amen. I don't care what you're going through right now. I don't care how tough it is at your house. Hey, if you're saved, you're right in the palm of his hand. Amen. It don't matter what. Hey, and the devil can throw everything he's got at you and he cannot knock you out of the palm of his hand. Fret not, faint not, and fear not, because he keeps us. Psalms 121, verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy keeper. Let me tell you something, folks. I've known Christians that went through bankruptcy, Skip. Came out the other side better than they were when they went in, because they were trusting in God. I've known Christians that had to go through cancer and came out the other side better than they were when they went in, because God was on their side. I've known Christians that had to go through heart disease. I've known Christians that had to go through divorce and came out better on the other side because God was with them. All things work to good to them that love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. That's the word of God. That ought not take our joy. We ought to be able to come to God's house and rejoice. Not in the situation, but in no matter what the situation, I know in whom I have believed. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And I'm trusting him all the way to the end. Amen. Amen. How is it